Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
All right, well, welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to be interviewing Glenn and Rhonda, good friends of ours that go way back, colleagues and coworkers here in the work in South Asia. Glenn and Rhonda have been on the field since 2005, mainly working in a lot of rural areas, but in cities as well. Training and multiplying, equipping national partners to do the work. And honestly, the work that the Lord has done through them and through their national partners, some of the most incredible movements of God that I know of, even globally, all throughout the world. And so praising God for his grace, it's just been a great joy for us and a privilege to watch from afar all that the Lord's doing through their ministry. We have learned a ton from them over the years, just been incredibly blessed by their example to us, both as workers and as parents. They homeschool 5 kids at home between the ages of 9 and 14 in the midst of a lot of other things ministry-wise going on. So welcome to the podcast, Glenn and Rhonda. Just excited that you guys are with us, excited for our listeners to be able to hear from you and to learn from your experience and the ways that the Lord is using you in the midst of the work. So as we had talked about, today on the podcast, we want to speak specifically to what we call every member ministry. Now, this is an idea, a biblical idea that, again, we have learned a lot from you about, and a lot of our other coworkers have learned a great deal from y'all as well. And I know, just as we're talking about the amazing things that God is doing through your ministry, that every member ministry is a big key to that. And so today, we'd really love just to hear from you about every member ministry, what that means for you all, from a biblical perspective, and then what it looks like practically on the ground in the midst of your ministry as well. How would you define that idea of every member ministry? And what would be a couple of chair texts, places in the scriptures that you would point to as the biblical basis for every member ministry?
So first of all, we just want to say thank you so much for having us and inviting us to be a part of this. And we really appreciate it and appreciate the opportunity to share. That is a really big question, obviously, and we could write a book, I think, on that topic, and in fact, people have, and I would even, Glenn and I would both probably commend to you some of the writings of Dr. David Allen Black at Southeastern. It has had probably an influence on us and our view of that, but I guess that we would probably point to several different places, and so I'm just going to sort of give a rundown of a few different things that we find that. One is in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, both speak to the fact that we are all, every member, are given the Spirit of God for the purpose of ministry. And all of us have that and have that ministry purpose as believers. And of course, in 1 Peter, we see Peter writing to the believers in the churches of Asia Minor. And again, he's writing to every member. And he refers to them in 2:9 as a royal priesthood. And he says, you are a royal priesthood that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness. So there again, we see that there's a purpose in that calling for every believer. Paul is writing to every member, and every member has a ministry purpose. And then, of course, we see so much evidence and examples of it in Acts with men and women and young people, and also in Romans, particularly in chapter 16, of course, where we see women referred to as fellow workers, sent ones. We also see there women and men referred to as where Paul says that they worked hard in the Lord. Also in 1 Thessalonians is another favorite place where we like to go. Because there again, Paul is writing to the church, to the entire church, the membership, and he encourages them in their work and their labor and their endurance as a church. And he even says that they have become imitators of him, and which I think also there is implying that he had a pattern and a practice of ministry that could be imitated. And we see even that they are passing that on to the further generations, because he says, and now you have become a model to all believers. I think in seeing that, just so many places throughout the New Testament where those letters and where Paul is addressing the church as a whole, not just leadership, not just one segment of the church, but the church as a whole, the every member. And then even when he does speak directly about appointing leadership in Titus chapters 1 and 2, that's another place where we like to point, because we see there that he addresses both the men and the women, and not only just as leaders or as elders and elders' wives, but he addresses people in all seasons of life. He also refers to the role and the ministry of the younger women and the younger men in those passages as well. But I guess probably we would say one of our favorite chair texts for speaking about an every member ministry is Ephesians chapter 4. Here we just see that Paul makes the case so strongly that we are one body with many parts, and that each one of us, every member, has been given the grace as Christ apportioned it, and that this has been given to us to prepare God's people for the works of service. All of God's people, every member is to be prepared to do the works of service. And I think we see there even that that's leadership's main purpose, is to prepare God's work, God's people, for the works of service. And it even goes on there to say, so that they may grow up and be built up and attaining to maturity. I mean, in every respect, mature. We see that that maturity of those believers comes through obedience as they are working as a part of the body. And I even think my favorite verse in that chapter is there at the end of verse 16, where it talks about the church growing and being built up. And it says, as each part does its work. And so I think it's just such a beautiful picture of how every member works together. And as they work together, the church then grows and builds itself up and becomes a healthy body. It becomes the healthy body of Christ.
That's great, Rhonda. Thanks so much for walking through that with us. You can just tell as you're going through this and explaining it, even on this interview, you can see the passion and hear the passion come out for that particular truth that we find in the Bible. And for us, knowing you as well and working alongside you all these years, we have seen that just in life and in your ministry. But just describe a little bit, if you could, some of the background and maybe some of your own history of walking towards this truth, of how this truth has become important to you over the years. How did God kind of lead you along this path toward this, toward discovering these things and applying them in your ministry?
Okay, I'd be happy to do that, Jesse. I appreciate you guys having us on here. If we think about a healthy body, the body has to be working at 100% to be called healthy. So it has to be better than some 80-20 kind of split. We often hear that there's 20% of a church body doing 80% of the work. If we really related that to our body, we wouldn't have a very healthy body. And so in our context, the immediate task concerns approximately 80 million people. And so we must have every member working together. And according to Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and I just want to quote that for us. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with you, which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so when we look at that, we encourage our people that we have to be walking worthy, walking in a manner worthy of our calling, because we're in front of a watching world. And as a master builder, my work is to make disciples. And I might add, relatively quickly. And so we have to have, we have developed an intentional growth path for new believers who come to faith through a chronological overview of God's word in 35 stories. Now, that is intended and effectively does grow them to maturity, which Rhonda had mentioned. We can't wait until maturity to put their hands to the plow. And so as soon as they take baptism, they start teaching the 35 stories. As much like our own children, we give them responsibilities that also help them grow. Starting out, things move slowly because setting the example was imperative. First, And I had to show it to one guy, and then he to a few more, until we got a larger group, i.e., you know, every believer, every member, sharing and mentoring others. So people talk about things moving really quickly in a movement, but I think this is a bit of a misnomer. Our process takes time. It takes time to grow a person who never knew heard the name of Jesus into a mature believer. It only records large numbers due to the exponential factor. It's not fast and sloppy. It's slow every single time with every single person. It's only fast because every single person is doing it. And I would reiterate with Ephesians 4:13, that mature aspect, that in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And then again, we see it in Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And so that's, I think, one of the ways we would answer that question.
Yeah, man, that's a great word about the speed and kind of the pace at which we see the work happen. I've heard somebody else describe movement as a lot of people working very deliberately and even slowly. But just like you said, the cumulative effect is that it looks fast because there's a lot of people involved in it. And that really is kind of the practical truth that we see when every member ministry is really grasped within a movement, within a ministry. That's what we begin to see. And praise God, again, that's what we have seen in the ministry that the Lord has given to you all over the years. Describe just a little bit more. You started to, Glenn, you kind of gave us the basic outline of what it looks like, but just describe a little bit more what every member ministry looks like practically in your work. How do those things play out? You know, you mentioned that you're asking basically believers after they take baptism to turn around and start teaching the things that they have been taught that brought them to this point. But talk a little bit more about what's it look like on a broader scale? Who all is involved in that? Tell us some more about that.
Okay. With a little background here, we started by translating and making booklets of our 35 stories, which gave a biblical and a worldview so that the hearers could rightly interpret the world that they live in. But nearly 30 million of those 80 million people I mentioned before are illiterate in our context. So the booklets were coming up way short. And James 2:5 tells us that James says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him?" And so we felt like we really needed to be able to help these poor out. And so near the time we finished the content / teaching of God's word on what we call the core missionary task, which involves six parts: entry, evangelism, discipleship, church, leadership, multiplication, and exit, we discovered the micro SD card. We were able to strategically use it to make an audio version of the disciple-making teachings. And this gave the ability of disciple-making to every member, new, old, men, women, and the young people, even though they were illiterate, had the ability just to push play on their mobile phones and listen to the content through which they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and even be brought to maturity. The repetition of the process was just to go back and start at the beginning of those lessons and begin to push play. Does that clarify the question?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And you, just in the midst of that as well, you know, hearing a lot of testimonies over the years of new believers, young people that have gone back and they are starting groups and homes where they're walking through that teaching material using the SD card. And, you know, several of those people who, like you said, they would be kind of considered, they're from a little rougher background. A lot of them would be maybe even migrant workers. Some of them live in paycheck to paycheck, that kind of thing. But really seeing an abundance in the fruit of their ministry, where several of those would be leading multiple groups at one time, where they're meeting with people in homes and walking through that teaching material. And so just to see that every member ministry at work, it truly is the case that they are all becoming disciple makers as they're going out. And that has been facilitated by that SD card. That's just an incredible boon that the Lord has granted in the midst of this for you guys to have discovered that at just the right time and to see that really blow up the ministry. It's amazing.
Yeah, Jesse, I was just going to say, there have been so many stories, just like what you were just saying, but we've even over the last few years begun to see that these believers are now catching such a vision for even going into unreached locations. And some of these, like you were referring to them, they're migrant agricultural laborers and different jobs like that. And some of them are even purposefully taking contracts, taking jobs in locations and saying it's because they know that there's no, you know, there's been no gospel presence in that area, or taking jobs, taking work in places that are difficult, where it's only a national person would even be able to get into that village or to get into that place. And they'll say, you know, I'm going to go there because I can, you know, not just anybody could go into that area. Just this past year, we had a couple of these different migrant workers that asked us for SD cards in different languages than what they would normally have been asking. And we were like, why are they needing SD cards in those languages? And it was for that reason. It was because they were even going into different states and different areas where they were going to be needing SD cards. Because, yes, they're going because it's their work, but their main purpose in going is in order to continue to proclaim the gospel where it's never been heard. And I did also just want to say that I think that another thing that has just been a passion for us since we saw that the SD card had this kind of impact with every member, making it just accessible to these people who had really, God's word had not ever even been truly accessible to them. It has just really had an impact on us, and it has caused us to frame just about everything we do by asking the question, you know, is this something that can be accessible to everyone? In every one of our teachings, in every part of our discipleship content, we always sort of ask ourselves that. And, you know, if it's not, you know, even when we began doing healthy church mapping and tracking and different things like that within the work, we always would ask ourselves, is this a way, or is this something, a tool, a training that can be accessible to every member, that can be passed on to the next generation by every member?
Yeah, that's right. We've heard many times from y'all over the years that everybody gets everything. And that's the incredible gift, I think, that comes through the SD cards, is that there's no kind of sectioned off training within your work and within the movement. Everybody truly is exposed to all the biblical teaching that y'all do across all those topics, whether it is about specifically about leadership or church planting or whatever it happens to be. Everybody gets everything. And what an incredible impact that has had. Even, I think, an element that's been a part of the SD cards as well, that I've heard you all speak about a lot over the years, is the fact that there is an audio listening plan through the Bible, so people can access that for their own personal time in the Word as well. And so they have access to all of the scriptures, even if they can't read, that they have access to the audio Bible as well. And just the impact that has had, both on the work and on families, on people individually, just them having access to all the counsel of God. And even as you all are coaching them and encouraging them to test all that they're hearing, whatever teaching, it has to pass through that filter of, show me in the Word of God where it says this. And for every single believer to have access to that, that's just incredibly powerful. Whereas we're talking about every member ministry, you know, obviously that applies to us as well, as sent out ones from North America, us working together as teams, as husband and wife. So want to hear from y'all, how do you work together as a couple? And how are you balance home life and ministry? And even particularly, Rhonda, if you could share a bit how your role has changed over the years as kids have been added on, as the kids have grown, all those different things. Just talk about what every member ministry looks like for you all in your family situation.
I think that, as you said initially, God has blessed us with 5 children. So in those early years, when we came to the field expecting our first and added 3 during our first term, during those early years, when I had a lot of babies, I was home a lot, and Glenn was traveling a lot. And so those years were, they were hard, but at the same time, and I have to say that I think Shaney and I have talked about this before, I have just as strong of an apostolic calling as Glenn does. But during those years, I saw my calling to be in the home during those years, that my service was in allowing Glenn to feel confident to go. And I tried to take care of things in the home that freed him up with different admin type things and expense reports and newsletters and all of those different kinds of things that I could do in the home while I was there with the children that would free him up to be able to go, and allowing him to be able to feel confident in that things were fine at home while he was away. But at the same time, I felt like Glenn always did a really good job too of balancing that. And especially as the children got older and we had toddlers and older preschool age children, I felt like he did a really good job of balancing and having a healthy amount of time at home and with the children, and even was always willing to be there with the kids whenever I had opportunities to be out with my national partner. I also felt like during those years where I was primarily in the home more so than out, that I felt like that as a couple, that we did a really good job, that Glenn did a good job of keeping me in the loop. And we did a really good job of discussing missiological topics and strategy. We were just always discussing those things. And so he was always keeping me in the loop with what he was thinking, and with our ministry was growing and tools were being developed. I was always a part of that. So I felt like I was never really outside of the work that was happening. And also a lot of those conversations informed our prayer letters and our newsletters to partners, because I was able to have those discussions with him and able to keep up with what was going on in the ministry. Throughout all those years, even when the children were little, whenever we did have the opportunity, when there were trainings or events that were here in the city, that we did try to be present at them. So even when our kids were small, you know, we tried to train them to sit in a training, or as they started homeschooling, we tried to make sure that, you know, they knew they could carry on with school, even at a training. We've always tried to also include them. You know, I think they grew up sort of seeing that as their service to the Lord, is being able to allow mom and dad to be able to train the national believers. So they were also, I think, have always, from those very early years, felt like they were a part of what we've done.
Yeah, and you all have been, and I'll just affirm again and say it again, such an example to a lot of our colleagues over the years, and especially to us also, as we have watched and seen the way that you all work together, the diligence, the hard work that goes into just every aspect of the ministry for you all, and the way that you do it together as a family, the way that you two work together as a team. Just like you said, Rhonda, talking through the strategy, keeping up with partners, I think that's one thing I've learned a ton from in watching you all, is how well you all keep up with your partners, how you communicate with them, how you're praying for them. You know what's going on in their lives, and there's just an incredible relationship. Even as the ministry has expanded, you know, it's bloomed into now several thousand grassroots level workers that are at the work, in it every day. Some of those migrant laborers you're talking about, and just how you all know, you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the lives of so many. And so that's just an incredible work that the Lord has done of building those habits that have come out of your desires to be a part of the work over the year, and y'all doing that work together. So thanks for being such an incredible example to so many of us all around South Asia. Wanted to just give a plug for the tools that you all mentioned earlier. Glenn was talking about the training program that they have put together, all the resources that are available on the SD card. Those are also available on an app, both for iPhone and for Android. You all can find those in the episode notes. You'll find the links to take you to those apps and other resources that we will put up there that the stewards have talked about, explained a little bit on this, and that they're using throughout their movement. You all feel free to dig into those. And Glenn and Rhonda, thanks so much for all that you are doing, all the ways that you are impacting the kingdom day in and day out, the investment that you have made in our lives and others over the course of the years. And thanks for having this, just taking the time to be on the podcast with us today.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. I've enjoyed all the years that we've been able to work with you guys, and look forward to some many more.
That's right. Let's do it.
Bye-bye.